Watching you and Peter in the Starcatcher, did you as a kid like to do theater with all those faces?
Well, I didn't really get into it or discover that I had a talent for it until I was in grade 7. And from about grade 7 through my junior high years, I was watching In Living Color with Jim Carrey. And I would say watching him in all those sketches, doing Fire Marshal Bill and the various things, that's where I cultivated some of that comedy that I really enjoyed watching and then reproducing on my own, just doing versions of his skits. And of course, my parents often played Blackadder and Monty Python throughout the house growing up before I even saw In Living Color. So those were all inspirations in terms of comedy bones, as it were. And then, yes, the mirror in the bedroom and pulling faces to myself, being very lonely, and as a kid does, and entertains oneself. But it wasn't until those years in early junior high where I discovered that I had a talent for making other people, my peers, laugh and have a good time.
How does your face feel after a performance of Peter and the Starcatcher?
What are you suggesting here? That I'm just pulling eyebrows? Well, you're in fact true. I am. No, my face doesn't hurt, but I think it's from years of practice. I've just been exercising those muscles in my face for years. But my body does get exhausted by the end of the show, for sure. It's an exhausting show because it's so physical, but it's also invigorating. It's not that I can't do anything afterwards. I feel like I've played a soccer game, or I've played a lacrosse game, and I've come off of the court or the field, and yeah, it feels like I've just gone through a game of something.
It's a very recent play and a very recent book for that matter. Had you seen it, heard of it, read the book, anything before somebody, Jackie or somebody, called you in and said, "We're offering you this for next season"?
My familiarity with the story was pretty small. I had watched the Tonys, I believe it was a couple of years ago, and saw a couple of performances from Peter and the Starcatcher on there, and of course they won a couple of awards, including Christian Borle, who won a Tony for playing Blackstache. And so that was my familiarity with it before we actually started rehearsing, but it was after I got the offer. I did read the Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson book that was written about 10 years ago, just over 10 years ago now, on which the play is based.
Well, certainly Peter Pan, the original J.M. Barrie book, just kind of appears and disappears. There's no prequel, there's no sequel, well, not in most people's thinking.
This story is kind of the prehistory of Peter Pan, and it's really, really neat the way he envisioned it. So you get to see how Peter learns to fly, how he discovers Neverland, how Hook becomes the villain that we know him to be, and of course the nemesis of Peter Pan, the meeting of Tinkerbell, all of these things which, when you read the original Peter Pan play or see it, as well as the novel by J.M. Barrie, all of that's just already happened. It's already happened in the past. You don't really learn how all of these things happened, but this is the story that tells that story.
Peter and the Starcatchers is a re Starcatcher is a real clockwork play. How long did you have to rehearse it?
We rehearsed it for roughly 6 weeks. Then we previewed it for about 6 weeks. So I think we did about 20 something previews before we officially opened it this week.
You must have done shows in the past where 6 weeks was the entire rehearsal and run.
Oh yeah. Oh, we do shows that 4 weeks is the entire length of the contract, 5 weeks is the entire contract, where it's actually the norm where 2.5, 3 weeks is your rehearsal process, and then up you go, and it's a matter of whether you run the show for a weekend. Usually it's longer than that, 2, 3 weeks time, and then your contract's done.
Do you have any young kids in your family?
No.
Cousins, nephews, nieces, nothing like that?
I have 3 nephews, and they're ranging from the age of 6 to 14, which is kind of the perfect age for this. Unfortunately, they don't live in southern Ontario for them to be able to come see this show, because I think they'd really enjoy it. And I'm the youngest in my immediate family, so I never had young kids around me growing up. But this is certainly something that young folks will really enjoy, and also the young at heart adults really enjoy this show as well. It's for all ages.
Kids may miss some of the jokes and one-liners that get thrown in.
There's a few things that I think would go over the average kid's head, but they're few and far between, because those are peppered in there for the adults, of course. And it's interesting, because I think the kids understand that something like that, they understand the rhythm or the sound of it. It's supposed to be funny. Their parents are laughing. So sometimes they're laughing anyway, because they know it should be funny. But there's also things in there, of course, that really a kid can enjoy. Some of the visuals, some of the silly lines, some of the physicalness of it. And so we're finding kids from as young as 3 or 4 have been in the audience and really enjoyed it. And right through the teen years up to the early 20s. And everyone seems to have a really good time.
Were there any student performances of this show?
Yes, we do. Not complete student performances. There's always adults in there who've purchased tickets. But we have school groups come in. And so we've had, at any given time, hundreds of maybe like 150 teenagers in the audience.
Is that a different audience to play to?
Yes, it's different than, say, an audience filled with only adults. It's lovely, because the energy of the show is really helped by the energy of the audience. And with a youthful energy in the audience, it's infectious. So one audience member's energy rubs off on another, and so the youthfulness of the students will rub off on some of the older some of the adults, who are maybe sitting back a little bit, and they go, "Wow, they start seeing the show through these younger eyes and are enjoying it that much more."
How banged up are you at the end of each performance?
It depends on the performance, but every once in a while you get a knock or a soreness. You go, "Hang on, there's a bruise there. How did that happen?" It's pretty rare, because we've got it down pretty consistently now to a very straightforward physicalness that we're used to. So we haven't been straying too much from that. So we're playing very safely. It was mostly, I would say, during rehearsals, while we were exploring it 8 hours a day on our feet, going over and over little bits and pieces to try and get it right, or to try something new and see what would work. It's then that you'd find yourself, "Oh my goodness, you'd go home and go, "Wow, I used my lower back a lot more than I thought I would," you know.
It's a different show, because it's so new, than something like You Never Can Tell, which has been done here, I think, 9 times before, mm-hmm. where everyone, top to bottom, is kind of exploring Peter and the Starcatcher.
For the first time, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's a very different show that audiences here have yet to see. And I think it's a really fresh way to look at a story, at a way of telling a story. It's the form they call story theater, in which the actors are narrating the action as we go along and then jumping into a variety of roles to tell the story. So each actor, I think, is playing, say, a half dozen parts. And that's anything from an orphan, a sailor, a pirate, to a part of a storm, a part of a ship, so inanimate objects as well. And it's really a celebration of the imagination in that way.
What other shows are you doing this season?
My other show is The Divine, a play for Sarah Bernhardt by Michel-Marc Bouchard.
That's different.
It's a very different world. It really is. Yeah, it's a different world to explore than Peter and the Starcatcher, and so it requires two different energies, two different parts of the brain to rehearse on. There are some similarities, for sure, but the challenge is very different in that one. It's less of a physical challenge and more of a psychological and emotional challenge for me.
Well, Sarah Bernhardt kind of lived in a psychological Neverland, but that's different. Did you start doing rehearsals for both shows at the same time?
We were already up and running with Peter and the Starcatcher before we started rehearsing The Divine.
Easier.
No, because you have the time to really focus on the first show, before you have to really settle in and focus in on the other show and start your really heavy lifting on that. So it's kind of nice to get one under your belt first before focusing on the second one.
But when did you start running your lines for the second one?
Well, to be honest, I'm still trying to run those lines now because we're still fairly early days. We're up on our feet and getting the movement down for the show, and we've only gone through the entire piece once to figure out exactly how we're going to stage it. So everyone's in a different place right now in terms of where their lines are at, and I think I'm right in the middle. I've got some of my lines, but believe me, I'm calling out for a line pretty frequently.
Well, I've talked to actors who like to have all their lines down before rehearsals start, and others who don't like to.
Yeah, I'm usually in the second camp, but I do know that there are some actors who love to come to the first day of rehearsal completely memorized. I think that's less common, and I find it's a very difficult thing to memorize before you've come in and heard the other voices in the show, and to know that when you're saying a particular line, you're standing in a particular space, you're holding a particular prop, you're looking in a particular direction. These are all sense memory things to help you memorize, I think. So you recognize, oh yes, I'm standing there and I'm holding this, and that's when I say this. So to not have those cues when you're sitting at home just memorizing it before rehearsal, I think is very difficult.
What was the first show you ever did?
Smurfs. A version of the Smurfs. I don't know what the plot was. I can't remember. But the first time I ever stepped on stage, I believe, was in a production of Smurfs when I was in grade one. I was not Papa Smurf. I was one of the many smaller Smurfs. I remember I was happy because I got to carry a saw. We had tools, and I got to carry a little wooden saw. I thought it was the best tool to have. After that, I remember being in a production, a Christmas production of something else at school. Now, professionally, my first production was as a young company member in Edmonton at the Free Will Shakespeare Company. And we did a production of Richard III and As You Like It. And that was a summer job I had between years of university at the U of A while I was studying in the acting conservatory program there.
So you had some interest in performing from very young.
Well, Smurfs, I don't think I had a choice. I think everybody in the class had to be in that production. But it's interesting because I think those seeds were probably sown at that time. And whether I knew it or not, I wanted to be on stage. And I think I look back, I ended up getting into Highland dancing before I ever got into anything else. I saw my mom was and still is involved with community theater in BC where I grew up. And so I would see theater there from time to time, saw a production of Brigadoon back in the day, and there was some Highland dancing in it. And apparently I just bothered my mom and dad that I wanted to do it. And so I did that for 4 years, and it got me on a stage. It wasn't the right medium for me. In the end, I wasn't a huge fan of it, But I think I got a taste for what it was like to be on a stage performing through that.
What show do you want to do?
I think there's a lot of shows. I'd love to be in a production of The Importance of Being Earnest. I've never done that. I think it's one of the most perfect plays ever written, especially in terms of comedy. And you know, I've seen productions. I saw a production here. In fact, my first year, there was a production here. And I got to understudy in that. So I've got a bit of a taste for it, but I've never been in a full production. I'd love to get a chance to do that.
The understudies here, at some point, everybody goes on and does a, not necessarily a show on stage, but everybody goes out and does the show as the understudy just to get a feel in case something goes wrong. What did that feel like?
Yes, well, in that particular case, everybody gets to rehearse. They get to run the show as their understudy, with half of the cast being the real cast. So you get a taste of what it's really like out there. We do it for nobody but the stage management. But in fact, I did end up getting called to do that show. And so I went on. Now, this was for the character of Lane, who's one of the servants in the household. He only appears in the first act, but I went on two or three times that year, which is, and he actually starts the show in that production. He starts the show on stage, and it was thrilling. I love that experience because it's rare as an actor that you get that particular experience with an audience. It's, you only usually get a chance or two at it. It's very new. It's a thing that you've never performed before, and then bang, you're in front of an audience. And if you've done your work and you're prepared and the adrenaline kicks in, then you can have a really good time.
Now, since rehearsals for you are winding up a little bit, what can you go back to doing? I mean, are you a bicycle rider around Niagara-on-the-Lake or a runner or what?
Well, I like to play tennis, so I'll play some tennis. And I'm also the captain of the Shaw cricket team. And we play the Stratford Festival once a year. And so once a week we'll practice out on the nearby field. So that's a lot of fun. That takes up a bit of my time and concentration, some of my spare time. I've recently discovered some joys of gardening. So I'll probably spend some time out in the backyard doing that. And I love board games.
Do you actually an iron lake?
I do, yes.
So not a question of shuttling in and then rushing back somewhere to see somebody else in your family on an off day or something like that.
No, I have no, myself and my wife, we don't have any of our immediate family in the province. So we all have to, we're from Vancouver originally. So usually that's saved for Christmas time. But we'll spend our time between Niagara and the Lake and Toronto.
Is your wife company?
She is, yes. It's Elodie Gillett. And she was Sarah Brown in Guys and Dolls. So she's here. She's currently pregnant. So she's at home taking care of creating a human life. It'll be our first child. So very excited about that. That's a whole new adventure for me.
Thank you, Martin Happer.
Thank you very much.
I'm...